are.
I can do it right in there now. I added it. A jam. I'm still going to edit in the intro, though, so it's going to double up, and I just ruined everything. And you know what? Here's a little behind-the-scenes treat for listeners. I actually considered two songs for the intro, and here's the other one. Different vibe. I picked reggae because I know Ron doesn't care about reggae. So yeah, there we go. Those are the two intro songs we went.
I don't know. Did you flip a coin? How did you decide?
I just like the other one better. Just a bit more punch to kick things off, though I like both of them. I gotta go over here so I can just double check levels. All right, we're good. Now, Ron, how are you?
Been better. We're half an hour late because of my technology struggles, which are really just a continuation from last week.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. So I think this is, I'm going to back up because my I'm spiking, but your levels are good. I think this is episode 335. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker, and I'm joined by my boy, Ron. Hey. How are you, Ron? We already said that. Ron tried to record an episode.
I did record an episode. Just
what's the most important?
Didn't have
part
any
of a
audio
podcast
attached.
Just got. let me do something here. I'm going to show everybody
a mime pantomime video of me and our boy Anthony Day.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's no audio at all.
I'm going to see if it'll play in here. I'm trying to share it, but it's not sharing. Let me see if it'll come. It won't pop up. Window. QuickTime player. Yeah, it won't let me share QuickTime. That's the problem. No, I was going to jokingly play it for you. It's just you two going like, there's no
so audience. Irritated. That was an expensive fail, too. That cost me a $185 lunch. We had oysters and shit. I don't know if we had lobster, what? Shrimp cocktails.
Jesus Christ.
I had to entice the boy to drive all the way up from Huntington to Long Beach. I know it's not that far, but I was just like, dude, let's do it in person. Let's do it at my place. I don't want to sweat in the speakeasy. Like, I've got, you know, some sort of AC, but we ended up sweating anyway. But we ate well, and we got to hang out for a bit.
Hang out. Yeah.
But, I'm sorry that I wasted his time, our listeners' time, and have nothing to show for it.
You didn't waste anybody's time. You had a wonderful lunch with your friend. We just can't hear what you guys talked about. We'll just have to bring him back around and make him pay for lunch because he's a lawyer.
Totally.
Okay, so rolling into the show. So to those of you, I was out of town last week. I was on vacation, and Ron was going to record a show. I was very excited for it. Technical difficulties, shit happens. Here we are. Don't worry about it. We're going to start this one off by doing something we haven't done in a while, and that is dive into some Bring a Trailer great results and gross results.
Sure.
And I'm going to start with the gross results first. I think you got a chance to see. Let me just pull up this other window so I can bring these up for our fine viewers and listeners. Well, listeners, you're going to have to suffer through a little bit. So the first one, let me see. Oh, I can do Chrome tab. That's right. The first one is this. This is a mid-engined 1968 Chevrolet Camaro. It's mid-engined, which is amazing. I will give credit to the idea of the engineer.
What's up front? That huge long hood. What's up front now?
Right, because the profile is off, and I'm going to show that in a second. I just got to figure out which window tab I'm in. We're right here. So if I scroll down, the profile is mega goofy.
Yeah.
It's
more
stupid.
Reminiscent of a Charger, like a body dropped like 68, 70 yes. Charger. Like it's lengthened, it's stretched, it's slammed, it looks like it's sectioned. I mean,
the wheels look like shit.
Yeah, it's just sorry to Centerline Customs. Is that who built this?
This says Vossen's.
No. Centerline Vehicle Designs is who built it, according to the listing. I don't know what I admire.
I think someone came to him with an idea, sure, and they were like, all right, we can do it. And they executed, they made a mid-engine Camaro.
It's a thing.
But
it definitely exists.
I want to scroll down too, because at one point this did have, let me go back to the window. This did have better wheels on it at one point, like more appropriate wheels.
You know, there's nothing wrong with those Vossens. It's like one of the most
those ones.
Oh boy, the center lines are they center lines or like prize?
I think they fit the car better.
Well, now that I see it on the old 15s or whatever it is, I definitely recognize this car. I mean, it has changed a bit over the years, but I remember seeing this, you know, years ago. It says it was a 1990s build, so I won't. I don't feel too bad knocking it because, I don't know, it's just not built to modern taste. Somebody tried to update it clearly, but I don't know. It definitely looks proportionally better on the 15-inch wheels as opposed to the 20s or whatever these are.
Right. And then the price, racist conspiracy theory, it went for $88,888.
What does that signify?
That feels like white power.
Is that the 8th letter of the alphabet, K?
Well, 88 is not good.
I don't know. I don't remember.
88 is like Nazi shit. 88 is Nazi shit.
Oh shit.
I don't know if that's the case here, but I'm just gonna leave it at that. Let's move on to the next car. The next car is a better car. Let me just preface. The next car is a better car. I just think the price is stupid.
How is it a better car? I don't know if I agree if it's a better car.
I think it's a
better... I think this Camaro is fun to drive. I wouldn't want to be I bet it fucking boogies and it handles and it does everything it's intended to do.
You're right. I got to rephrase this better. I think this is a smarter buy for the money, but at the point where we've hit the peak of the stupidity,
sure,
and this is going to stand as a high watermark. So, like, if someone did this a year ago, maybe it would have made more sense.
This is a much less polarizing and much less offensive vehicle, for sure.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. So, for those listening, it's a 1990 Honda CRX SI 5-speed. It only has 12,000 miles. It says total miles unknown, but the car is flawlessly clean. But someone spent $40,000 on a CRX. Remember when this was, I know I'm dating, I'm sounding old, but at 3 to 4, maybe 4 to 5 years ago, Integra Type R's were $40,000.
Bro, this car, like, two years ago, you could have bought this car for $10,000, $12,000.
Max. Even clean, people didn't give a shit about these for a while. I'm going to scroll. Let me pull the window back up so I can scroll. I will say it is. It's clean.
It's an SI. It's super clean. It's not fucked with. Nobody's messed it up. It's nice. It's super nice for what it is. Super clean.
But 40 is just. But
does it even have air conditioning?
Let me see if that's in there.
It's not fast. It at least it's better annoying. Be comfortable.
I gotta go back. Right. Let's see. Time Warner. Blah blah.
Original sticker. $11,390.
That's wild. Does it say AC on this front and rear? I can't. It's really hard to read the writing in that.
Yeah. But you would think if it had a compressor.
Right. That's what I was trying to think. And then I was going in here to see. I mean, it probably has AC, right?
Do you think?
It might not, though. It is 1990.
It does say air conditioning. But I don't feel like that was standard. I feel like that was, especially for a car with,
Oh, maybe on the SI, though.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, it's got crank windows, so I wasn't certain. I would have ventured to guess that it did not have AC, but it does. So
I think it's a better buy than that Camaro. Sure. But I agree with you that the Camaro would obviously be more fun.
Sure.
But you could go around a turn. I mean, I will not disparage the builders because they did something ridiculous at one point. Back in the 90s, someone spent shitload of money.
And it looks, relatively well executed, but it's just, why? Why?
Yeah, the wheels are hurting it a lot for me.
Did you ever see the Mach 40? which was like a 69-70 Mustang that was chop channeled and converted to rear engine with a GT, like the 0506 Ford GT drivetrain, so the supercharged 5.4 with the 6-speed like transaxle. Like it, search for it and show it if you can.
Oh, it looks like a concept car, but like well done.
Right. Much better executed. I'm sure it's like a
Man, I'm
$500,000
sure.
car, but it was extremely well done. The proportions worked. It almost looked like something Ford would have done themselves.
Yeah, that looks like a
Right.
concept
I don't love the
car.
wheels, but like, the
I don't
proportions,
hate them.
sure, but
I think the center could be handled
Right.
better, but I like where they're going with
Right.
them.
But I mean, overall, it's just a much more it's a much prettier execution in the end.
It's definitely a higher
Totally.
quality of
Totally.
build. Yeah, that's a good comparison. Wonder where that car is. All right, so let's go on to our last of the gross. We call them gross, but it doesn't mean the car. I'm trying to not shit on people. The
Right.
car isn't gross. Like that CRX isn't gross
No.
at all. It's beautiful, but not beautiful, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, I
But
wouldn't
the
go that far.
price is gross. I mean, it's cool. I'm down with
Holy
it. All right.
shit. I'm sorry, I'm
So,
jumping ahead.
for which one?
Are you on the Blazer?
I'm about
Yeah.
to. Is this like, before I click on this, is this, does any, was this like someone in your company who, or you knew who sold this
I
car?
do know who sold this car. I've never met the guy, but he's a
Okay.
friend of a friend. I've seen him. He's got a collection. Like he's got a bunch of stuff. Like I saw Autotopia video on this truck. And he bought it, basically built, and then just like added some of his own personal touches to it. But
So he made
good
money.
for him, 100%. I would imagine he
So
probably doubled his money. This is outrageous.
it's insane. And when I saw the KMC wheels, I'm like, oh shit,
No,
right. This sounds like I feel like we talked about this truck
no.
or you knew someone. So the truck is sick as
It
hell. The
is.
truck is
It is.
bananas. The price is what makes it
Equally
gross.
bananas. Yeah.
$179,000. So for those of you listening, it's a supercharged LS3 powered 1969 Chevrolet K5 Blazer that is fully done. Gorgeous light blue paint, KC lights up top, exposed exterior roll cage with no roof, upgraded axles, king shocks. Like you could actually take this and do stuff in the dirt, lockers, onboard air, proper 17-inch wheels with big old 37-inch tires, KMC
Air
wheels,
conditioning.
air
I
conditioning.
don't know
There you go.
why when you've got no roof, but I mean, I suppose the liftoff roof would go back on there. I mean, it looks like the cage is
Yeah,
low
no,
profile.
yeah. Let me see if there's a
There's any
photo of
pictures
that,
with
but yeah,
it.
it should go on. It looks like it bumps up a
Yeah,
little
it
bit, but that
does.
might have just been, it could lift inside of where the
Sure.
roof goes though. But the truck is super duper, like the like, what are those Corb? They're not Corbos. They look, they're dope. Yeah, they are
Maricopas,
Corbos
yeah.
actually. Yep. Big beefy 480E. It's an LS3 with an LSA supercharger, which it says fitted under current ownership. So
Right,
your homie
right.
did
It's not
that.
my homie, bro. It's not my homie. I've never met the
Okay.
dude.
Friend of a
It's a friend of
friend.
a friend,
All
yeah.
right, right. Got it. Proper dual range transfer case, Dana 60. Jesus Christ, 14
I mean,
volt
it's all
rear.
there. It's all there, but there's little things that I would definitely change myself. Like, I don't know why it's got like stock style steering wheel and door panels and stuff that are like painted that don't even look to match. There's just little
Yeah.
stuff that's like off for me, but like as far as hardware goes, it's all there. I can't really knock what all is there, especially considering it's got AC.
But you can knock that
Yeah,
price
100%.
because
I don't.
$180,000 for an admittedly incredibly well-built blazer is fucking stupid.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to go to Ring Brothers and have them build one, you'd probably spend that or twice that. But
Yeah, you would.
it can be built for much less than that. It's just a matter of patience. I feel like somebody that just wants to
You could
ride
chop
this
the one
summer and
off.
like,
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. But if you yes, you could have that done for far
Yeah.
less. You don't need, I'm sure they did a brand new LS3, you go find a used one. because I looked on the build tag mm-hmm. and the build sheet, it was 17 grand for the engine and trans. And then it was like another 12 to install it or something. Like,
yeah, I mean,
fucking
you can buy that LS3 crate motor for much less than 17, even with trans, like for much less than 17 grand, but whatever.
And then another 12 to install. So,
yeah, I don't get that.
And then the AC was like 2,500, and then it was another 1,800 to install it. Like, just
oh, that's right. That's
and then
right.
It was like, it is, but it was funny. All the things like it's then it was like brake line fittings, and then the like the way they broke it out was clear, so you could see parts and labor were different. But like a lot of the shit cut, they charged the place their labor rate. They did very good work. Not that they built the whole truck, but you know, whatever. Let's move on to the good stuff, shall we? I hope I opened up all the good stuff. Let me see. Cause the first one is like the antithesis of the truck we just looked at. And no, I didn't. I only opened up the crappy shit. So give me 1 second here. Open link. I'm going to do this.
Oh, this is encouraging.
This, which you can't see on my screen. So it's fine. I'm actually going to open all three real quick. So bear with me here. Ooh, I'm boy. So sorry for the get people it. Listening. Cause
they'll
you're
be
like,
right.
get fucking on with it. But we got good ones, I promise you. Yes.
And when you say good, what we really mean is fair and not outrageous. And
I think they're good. I think all three of these are good. I'm gonna go there and say that.
Whatever we were saying about the previous cars doesn't mean the cars aren't nice. It just means we think they're outrageously overpriced.
Yeah, I have problems with the Camaro on multiple levels, but the other two, 100%.
Sure,
it's the price. That's what drew me in. The CRX is super clean, and the K5 is amazingly well built that I would love to drive that thing every single day.
I agree with you.
You're 100%.
I agree with
correct.
You on the Camaro. I would spend none of my dollars for that. You could not get me to spend any money on that. That's just not my,
I would
not
love
my
to
style,
take
not
it.
My taste. I just wouldn't want to be seen in it.
No, I would love to take it for a rip up and down the street real quick and then hop out and I'm good. So the antithesis of the K5 is this. This is a 49,000 mile having 1999 Chevrolet Suburban 4x4, K1500, sold with no reserve, and it went for $23,000. Now, that in today's climate for a vehicle that will literally last until the end of time, 100%. And only has 49,000 miles and can tow and can do all kinds of shit and fit tons of people and stuff. That is, to me, a hell of a deal. Let me scroll a little bit on it. It's look at that seat. That seat is super clean, that driver's seat. The everything, the engine is, I know they cleaned it before, but the engine is spotless. This truck is in fantastic shape, and I think someone, whoever bought this for, you know, what it was, $23,000, that's a fantastic buy right there. That person did well. Yep. Seller's probably happy enough.
They're thrilled.
No reserve.
They're thrilled. Like, you can find, not necessarily such low mile and so clean, but you can find these Suburbans all day for $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 with, you know, somewhere around 100, 125, 150,000 miles, which I would say is like half their life cycle. And
easy half.
Very clean and like interior with very little wear. Like a lot of people use these in ranches and, you know, lake houses and winter homes and stuff. And, or they were just like, you know, suburban commuters and like kid carpool cars. And, you know, they didn't, you know, if the kids didn't spill Cheerios and shit all over them and rot out the carpet, like they stayed in pretty good shape. You know, they were mom's car and they were well taken care of.
I think this was likely a vacation home car because it says the seller is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
See?
Which I'm not going to bring up the sales price of that Camaro.
Right.
But if you don't know about Coeur d'Alene, it's a beautiful place, but it has a history. I'm going to veer off track.
I'm learning a lot, even if it's off camera after we finish recording.
Yeah.
I got to hear about Coeur d'Alene.
Let's just say they have an active member of an organization that shouldn't even still be active in this country. Moving on.
Welcome
to
Georgia.
The next vehicle. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. All right. That's a good point. Man, I'm from Massachusetts and Southern California. So this next vehicle, this is a vehicle that just a few years ago, this price would have been a little on the high side. But where the market is now, I think it's a pretty okay buy, especially because style-wise, it looks really good. This is a 1964 Dodge Polara 500 with a nicely modified 383, nice steel wheels, beefy tires, a great stance, and someone bought it for $17,500.
If it's not rusty, if that thing is solid in and out, that is a steal. That is, it's like those like mid-year Mopars, I feel like were the ugly stepchildren of their generation. But now they just look cool as hell as muscle cars. Like, you know, when you put like beefy tires on them like this one has, and like you give it a little bit of rake, like they just look like the epitome of the muscle car. I love these things, even though I don't think they're attractive.
No, I agree with you. So this one looks good, but Mopar is weird. Mopar has like a few models that are priced to the moon, and then a few that are worth nothing. And for a long time, Furies, Polaras, Darts are worth nothing. This Polara just pre-pandemic would be like an $8,000 car. But this thing with its, in that profile shot, that pillarless coupe look looks so good to me. What I would do though is pull that chrome off the side. I'd get rid of that personally and just have it all blacked out.
I wouldn't get rid of all still of like it, the wide. I would get rid of that big spear down the side. I'd agree with that.
The one on the nose is cool, but I don't know if you could keep that. Outback, I'd keep Outback, but just the sides are what I don't love.
No, that's what I'm saying. That big spear on the side is the one that I would get rid of. But there's like two layers of chrome or stainless trim on the side. There's like that wraparound that goes up towards the belt line and then comes back down in front of the just above the rear bumper. And then there's the big spear that runs through it. I would probably get rid of that and just leave like the smaller stainless or chrome trim because it matches the trunk and the hood.
The bumpers.
But it would be more like super stock or like, what was their factory race team? Was it the Roadrunners first before they actually introduced the Roadrunner?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. But like it's got a little tear in the seat, but otherwise this is a great driver. Doesn't bother me that it's an automatic. I love the Dodge logo and the steering wheel. Yeah. What's that? The 383, here's what just nothing crazy. Yeah. A great exhaust, upgraded heads, a Lunati cam too. Oh, they did some like nice stuff to this. So whoever bought this for $17,500 as a driver, this thing is great. Oh, that's funny too. It says the 727 in it was sourced from a 67 GTX. I'm like, what happened to the GTX though? because GTXs are the shit. All right, here's our last one. I'm pulling on your heartstrings a little bit with this one, but I'm gonna be honest, whoever bought this stole.
I was just gonna say, this is a steal and a half. This is kudos, especially considering it's a 5-speed car.
So I don't care for a Fox convertible. I'm just not a convertible guy. Sure. However, this is for an East Coast car, wildly clean. And I feel like you see white and black all the time. So to see a red one looks so good. It looks pretty stock.
I mean, this thing is so clean underneath. It says, I see here that says that the paint is worn through to the primer on like the corners. If that's the case, it's because somebody over polished it because the paint like cleans up really nice. And like the interior has absolutely no wear. Underside has no
driver's
dirt,
seat,
no rust, no like discoloration, like everything under hood looks original and just clean, like not effed with and not, you know, not like somebody tried to like dress it up and make it look good for pictures. Like it looks just like, hey, this is what it is. Like it's all original. It's clean.
So this is interesting. It was originally an automatic and it was swapped to a 5-speed. I wonder if that's why they didn't touch it.
Well, I mean, I did the same thing with my first car, my 93 Mustang GT. I burned up the AOD in it and I converted it to 5-speed. And I also did not, I think I saw in here somewhere that it was either this one or the last one, but it said that the neutral safety switch was not engaged. And I did the same thing. So you could start my manual car without putting your foot on the clutch or the brake, and it would just jump across the parking lot if you weren't careful. But
I can do that in my Montero.
But no, this thing is super clean and super fun. Like, you know, I keep saying, like, I would love to pick up a Fox GT or LX convertible with a 5.0 and a 5-speed, just because I have a bunch of random parts, like, off of my car that would go onto one of these, and like 5-lug conversions or auto body intake, just random shit. And like, this would be the perfect candidate for something like that. Pick it up for like $8,000 and hopefully flip it for twice that with, you know, some subtle upgrades. But whoever got this better enjoy the hell out of it, because they stole it.
So good point for listeners, not viewers. The price was $8,169. And I can see the homage almost to those Mach 40 wheels when looking at these 10-hole, which they look, these wheels are kind of a better execution, you know, just because these are almost like, I know you don't love D windows, but these are like, an evolved version. They're an evolved version.
Phone dials or 10-holes. I've seen people convert these to 3-piece, and they don't look terrible, but it's just not a look that I would celebrate. It was just such a throwaway, like, get these off my car ASAP style back in the 90s when these cars were new.
I think that it says there's a something of a coolant leak. So the coolant leak and the total mileage unknown coupled with
AC doesn't work.
The gearbox swap. Those are things where you and I are like, cool. I'll deal with it.
Yeah, fix that. I'll figure it out.
I put that. I saw that. I'm like, oh, Ron's gonna almost be pissed. Yeah, totally. I'm like, his car.
Who bought this car? What's your number, bro?
It's like, why is the top bidder says ice baby? What is?
There's so little money left in Fox bodies, but I feel like GT convertibles, especially some LX convertibles, like there's still little meat on those bones if you buy the right car and it's clean and like the top works and it's not fucked up. Like this one, like the top looks super clean and in good condition. There's no holes. It probably works properly. Like it's not a sexy car by any means, you know, it's just like, this was like rental spec back in the day, but you can totally make this fun and cool. Just, you know, wheels, drop, exhaust, like mild upgrades, all which I have in storage, like, throw that at it and I'd have a fun summer with that thing.
Right. What's the difference? So I know the big thing that Ford Mustang people love from this era. What is the difference between whatever intake manifold is on this car and what would be, what do they call it? Like the GT40?
The GT40 is exceedingly rare nowadays. Like those, like used, like retailed for like $600 back in the day, $500-$600. Now they're like, depending on condition, like $1,200 to $1,500. Like, you know, Ford Motorsport made like a series of cams, the B cam, the E cam, the F cam. They had GT40 heads, GT40 intake. They had the Cobra intake from the 1993 Cobra, bigger throttle bodies. Like all that stuff would just like, you know, you'd upgrade piece by piece if you were on a budget, or you do it all at once. And like, you could, you know, almost double the horsepower. I mean, you know, they were like rated at 205, something like that. And like, you could easily get up to like 350, you know, 350 to 400 horsepower, just choosing like from the Ford Motorsports catalog. Like they had a host of performance upgrades, including exhaust and everything else, shifters, rear gears, underdrive pulleys, all that stuff was available through Ford. You could have it installed at your dealership and in most cases retain your warranty. That's why these cars are super popular back then, because you literally didn't have to look anywhere other than your dealership and like go in. Like I remember back in the day, like my buddies that were into Mustangs, I had one, but I couldn't afford anything. But like my buddies were like 10 years older and they were street racers and shit. And we'd go to Gene Evans Ford, and there was one other Ford dealership in Atlanta that were Ford Motorsport dealers, and you go buy those parts and like have them installed, like just make a service appointment, and like they would still honor their powertrain warranties and stuff, and like you know,
that's sick.
Like you'd be faster than anything on the street, and you'd still be able to warranty shit if anything went wrong.
Right. That's
so th- yeah, this
awesome.
car is completely stock, which is actually really kind of cool because it's so hard to find any of these cars unmodified and unmolested.
The GT40 intake is the same shape as the stock 5.0 intake.
No,
right?
It's got like tubes. It's almost like the bundle of snakes exhaust they called it on the original GT40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
right.
It's almost like that. They had individual intake plenum runners, and they just looked super cool. And they only made them. They probably made them through the mid 90s, and they're just super hard to find now. I sold one. I had one. On the motor that's in my Mustang, it came with a GT40 intake, and I sold it in 2000. This must have been 2015, 16, 17, something like that. I sold it for like $800. And
damn.
Yeah, it paid for the intake that I put on it, and it was just, at that point, it was restrictive. My car was supercharged, and it wasn't like the best intake. But yeah, those things are super valuable. But not as rare and as valuable as the Saleen / Vortec intakes. Those are like $2,000-$3,000 now if you can find them. Like, they were sold aftermarket. I think they were sold through Ford, and they were sold through the Saleen performance catalog. But like, they were just super cool, and a lot of them got cut open, and like the runners like extrude honed and like ported and polished and stuff. So like, they got hacked up, and they're just super rare now. But that's my Fox Body performance parts history lesson of the day. Thank you.
Nice. No, I like it. That's why I asked. You're the man I wanted to know from. What is going on at the Speakeasy? Any news? Anything new? What's up with your fleet?
So my fleet at the Speakeasy gained a resident over the weekend. I had to bring the K10 over, and it takes up so much space. I did not make an acquisition. I did not buy another vehicle. I'm in sell mode right now. I'm trying to sell the Tahoe. I'm trying to sell the K10. I brought the K10 back and basically cleaned that thing up. I got all the junk out of the bed. Like, that thing, it had, I didn't bring it home with me, but there was, when I found it in South Dakota, it had a camper shell, like a full, like, walk-in camper shell that was sitting in the barn next to it. I left that there. I didn't want to F with that. I didn't even want to go in it and see what was there. But basically, the owner of the truck had built, like, a platform both on the bed rails and in the bed. So there was like all these 2x4s and even insulation in the bedsides. Like, they built artificial bedsides, and it was all wood, and it was all pretty well preserved considering that thing was in a barn for 20 plus years. But I was terrified. I think it was just yesterday I went and I ripped all that shit out. But I was terrified that I was going to find all sorts of animals and bugs, and I was just going to like have cockroaches all over me. But completely, like, free of moisture, animals, rodents, like, there was nothing. Like, the I'm sure it was all asbestos and fiberglass, because I had like a rash all over my arms when I was done yesterday.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, I pulled all of that insulation out, and it was all dry and like brand new. So the plan with that is to get the lift kit installed, get the 33s and the American Racing wheels on that thing, get it detailed, cleaned up, tuned up, and out of there, because it takes up so much damn space. It's just way too big. It's ugly. I mean, I like it, but compared to, the 993s and the like Mark III and Mark I and Mark II, like Volkswagens and stuff that's in there, like, it's like we traded an NSX for this. Like, nobody's thrilled about it being there.
But come on now, it adds a little bit of color.
Oh, totally.
To you it depends who walks in there.
Sure.
If I walk in there, my eyes are gonna go to that truck pretty quickly. So
it's ugly only because it's dirty and dusty, but like, once it's cleaned up, like, getting that bed cleaned up was a huge like point of contention for me. Like, I feel so much better about, even though it wasn't a purchase, I feel so much better about owning this thing after getting that out and seeing the bed floor is clean, rust free, like, like, everything is straight on this truck, and it's like, it's just not quite there. But I figure 2 weeks of work and, a lot of sweat and elbow grease, and I should have that thing ready to sell. And, it should be a cool, reliable, fun truck for somebody.
That's awesome. That'll be fun. Press car updates on my end. I have an Audi e-tron GT in the driveway.
Not an RS.
Not the RS. So this is my take
I've
two loan.
Ever seen a non-RS of those cars. Is that going to be like the one? Like, is that what we'll see more of? Like, do they lead with the RS?
I don't know because at the price this car sits at, you should just get the Porsche. and I think that's Audi's problem here with the e-tron, because I do not see a lot of them on the road. The GT specifically. I see plenty of the SUVs, but that's like a totally different price point and vehicle. I see plenty of Taycans, you know, relatively speaking. It's rare.
At least two Taycans every day. I mean,
yeah,
we're in Orange County, which I feel like is the home of Taycan, even e-tron, Tesla. Like, it's just
every electric vehicle.
You see them all. I see Rivians every day now.
I'm around the corner from a Rivian office, literally around the corner. And then my neighbor just got an EV6. I see hydrogen vehicles here, which other parts of the country don't see. Yeah, there's a station in Lake Forest.
Well, who's so even hydrogen-powered vehicles? Like, what's even on the market? I don't even know.
Oh, the Toyota Mirai and the Hyundai. Is it the Niro? No, there's a Hyundai as well. There's a Hyundai crossover as well. Yeah. There might be one that I'm missing as additionally. But I see them very frequently. There's a few in my neighborhood. So this e-tron GT is kind of the redo loan, because I had the e-tron GT RS, like, it feels like a year ago now. And something weird happened on it right before I went to shoot it, where it just wouldn't respond to charging and a bunch of other shit. And it had to be towed out of my driveway. And I just waited, and I was like, hey, Audi, can I get another one of these? And they're like, yeah, what do you want? So they send this over, and it's in this really cool green called Tactical Green, which I'm not in love with the name of the color, but the it's like, people are kind of shitting on it, because in certain lights, it's like, almost looks like peanut butter green. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm describing it to you, and you'd be like, dude, it's like mud to me.
I'm in enough trouble with colors as it is. You combining descriptions with other colors.
It's like a brownish green. Okay. If you feel like your brain is like doing this.
Sounds
right
like
now.
Diarrhea, but
right, yeah. So it's not as bad. It's nowhere near as bad as when like BMW did like baby shit yellow on some of their cars.
I've never heard those two combine. Baby shit is always green or brown. I've never heard baby shit yellow. So you're just throwing me for all sorts of loops.
When you combine the green and brown, you have that BMW color. Is what
was
it
that
is.
On?
It was on some M vehicles. There's
like
a name for it. There's people who
are pale ass yellow.
I don't know what it's
like
called,
an
E46 but it's
fucking.
And 3? No. Newer than that. Way newer than that. Way newer than the E46. Yeah. But so e-tron GT, is good. It's very good. It's comfortable. It's tight. The Porsche is better. And I think it's the problem. Unless you get the RS, which has on full, because there's like an overboost mode in both of them. So technically this car can do 522 horsepower, but usually cruises at like 490, whereas the RS can do 637, which is a huge difference. But it's very nice. And actually, I think part of the reason I like it is that I don't see a lot of them. I'm always interested in cars I don't see a lot of. And the green looks good. The interior's nice. I want to drive it a little more. The range isn't super impressive. You know, it's like 240, but it's more than people bitch and moan about range. I've charged it once since I've had it. And I've actually, the last 2 days, I just left it outside. I'm like, I don't need to charge this because I don't need to push it. I got to go do some things, and I'm driving in dynamic mode. So I'm not sacrificing on the enjoyment
when
of the car.
When and where are you driving?
Right in my garage.
That's it. So
yeah,
you've avoided all of the horrible, like, public charging experiences that some of your cohorts have experienced.
So because I can charge at home, and I don't have a charger, right. but I have what is called a NEMA 1450 outlet. So that's the, what is that, 40 amp, 250 okay. volt, which would, if I could plug it, if I put a dedicated charger in it, would technically be level two. So it's like a good amount of charging. Right. So I, but the, a lot of these cars come with a plug to handle that level of charging. This is a good segue to tell everybody that they need to buy tickets to Autopia 2099. Mm-hmm. So I can charge quickly enough at home as long as an automaker supplies that NEMA 1450 plug.
If it's not supplied, how much is that plug, like in the aftermarket or from the manufacturer?
No. Like, it usually comes with the car. Okay. It's just sometimes it's not in the car. Right. Like that's what that's all I mean. It should normally, when you see these, a lot of the times on these electric vehicles, there's a bag in the trunk or the frunk that has a picture of a plug on it. You unzip it and the charging cable is in there, which includes a charger, to plug in, you know, here. Cause if you go to a charger, that has the charging right. cable. So they usually have a 110 style output, or a I almost want to go get it from the car to show you.
But take a break?
I have to open the garage.
No, because
I don't want to pause. Not that this is the system that did that. but the NEMA 1450 plug is like four prongs. It's beefy. I think you can technically weld. I think you can weld off of it. So it's a hardy plug, and automakers usually supply the 110 or the 250, 240, whatever you want to call it. And this Audi has it, so I can charge lightning quick. But if I need to hit a charger, I think it can handle 270 kilo, or it can handle pretty darn fast speeds, usually faster than what you're going to find. And I almost exclusively, just because I've had the best luck with them, stick to Electrify America chargers. And I hear the horror stories. Right. But I will be totally honest, I have not had the issues that other journalists have had, but I'm not using them as often as they are. When I drove cross country in 2019, the network was fresh and farther apart. And at our very first stop, we had an issue where I'm like, it's stop one of like New York to LA. And I'm like, the car's not fucking charging. And so I'm on the phone with Electrify America because they knew we were doing it. Audi knew we were doing it. And somebody answered right away. And I'm like, the car is not charging. They're like, when you plug the connector in, just give slight upward pressure on the thing and the car and the charger will talk and it'll be fine. And I did that and it worked. I'm like, thank you for that tip, because if we needed to use it for the rest of the time, but the average person buying an electric vehicle, that's fucking stupid. Yeah, totally. Like, that shouldn't be.
It's like the Nintendo fix. Take it out, blow on it, put it back in.
Yeah. But you shouldn't do that on a, you know, $40,000 to $200,000 vehicle. But once I learned, so I've been around enough EA chargers where I can sometimes know the quirks. So like, if you plug into one and no one else is there and the one you plugged into isn't giving you the juice where it's supposed to give it to you, stop the session, pull over to the next one and try it. And that one will probably give it to you. But these are like dumb problems that EVs need to work out, because you would never go to a gas station and be like, this is pumping slow. I have had that experience, actually, on the way to
Vegas last year, the same trip where I had the stupid,
the dash cam,
that whole experience with the drink throwing. We stopped at a gas station, I don't know, probably State Line, Prim, whatever, somewhere close to there. Like, I feel like we were closer to Vegas. Like, we were past Baker, and we were closer to Vegas. But we all, like, plug our pumps in. We're fueling up, and, like, we go in to get snacks and stuff. And, like, we come back, and, like, literally had pumped, like, 2 gallons of gas, like, in, like, 5 minutes. We're like, what the fuck, bro? So, like, everybody's just like, all right, I don't really need gas. And I was like, I need gas. So I went inside, and I was like, yo, man, the pumps aren't working. Like, they're just like trickling gas. And the dude was like, all right, 1 second. And he was one guy by himself, this small little gas station. And he was like, everybody take your pumps out. We all took our pumps out and like, we put them back. He's like, no, don't put them back. Just leave them on the ground. We're like, what? So we leave all of our pumps. There's four cars. We leave all of our pumps on the ground. He goes and like opens some valves and fucks with some shit, and then he's like, okay, you're good. I'm like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, go. I'm like, plug back in, fucking go to pump, just full volume, full force. It was the weirdest thing ever. And like, the dude was Latino and he didn't speak a ton of English. And, you know, I was just glad that it worked. So I really wanted to know what he did and like why it didn't
Yeah.
work, but I was just thankful to be done and like ready to go and get on our way. It was the longest trip
Right.
ever, but like that was the first time and only time I've ever experienced a slow gas pump, and it was
Interesting.
a whole station issue as opposed to one pump, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's okay. That's weird. It must have been maybe like, because I know modern gas stations, everybody's like, oh, you go when it's, what do they say? You go when it's
Right.
colder because it does this,
Go in the
which
morning or in the
isn't
evening, right. Right.
true because it's all temperature and pressure controlled. So like that doesn't happen anymore. But maybe this was an older one where they're like, fuck, it's too hot, and you know, he's got to
Yeah,
crank it.
it was weird.
So that's interesting. So yeah, e-tron's out there. Next week I get the Silverado ZR2, which I want to go get dirty and drive up a hill. And I'm scheduling some other cars. I'm going to get the NSX Type S. I got to look
Nice.
at Integra. Yeah, I finally am scheduling that one. I'm getting a GTS, a 911 GTS coupe,
You had the Targa
which I'm
not too
excited about.
long ago, right?
Right, so this is I was asking for something a little bit more of the true GTS experience. So I'm excited for that. I get the new Audi S8 after the Chevy. Oh, I finally get a Z, a Nissan Z in July 27th. I was supposed to get it earlier, but they're like, hey, we had to pull it for this reason. I'm like, okay, so somebody big needed it and I can't get it. And whatever, that happens all the
Sure.
time. Let's move on to questions.
Okay.
Let's jump to Twitter. We only got two on Twitter. Dan Mosqueda at Moscovich.
Hey,
Great video on
buddy.
the 4x4 expedition trip. What was the least capable vehicle on the trip, and were any of the vehicles stock or with minimal mods? Great question, Dan. Interestingly, the vehicle I was in should have been the most capable because of all the stuff, but because the rear locker didn't work, it turned it into the least capable. It's amazing how important a rear locker is to off-roading, because this truck had 37-inch tires, amazing suspension, air modifications, snorkels, turbo. The engine alone should have pushed it to be able to do just wild, wild stuff. It's so funny that I can still hear
I'm
you,
sorry.
Ron, because with the head. No. It's funny because the headphones I forgot are also the
Yes.
microphone. Ron walked away from the camera to
I
fix a drink
could
while
have
I'm
muted
talking, and
him.
I could hear like ice, just like
So
blah
sorry, dude.
blah. No, it's funny. It's I'd rather hear you than not hear you. So that Land Cruiser turned out to be the least capable because the rear locker wasn't working. But there was like a stock older gen Tacoma, not stock, but an older gen Tacoma that some dude drove and slept in the bed, which was awesome. But the most impressive was the FJ60 or 62, I think it was a 60, that just had it didn't really have any mods, and it fucking went over almost. It only needed to be recovered once because it got stuck in some mud that was a little bit too much for it. But that dude drove it over everything. And the coolest part about that truck, it had something I didn't know about before, and I don't remember if we talked about this. Maybe we touched on it. It had a pull throttle. Did we
I
talk
don't
about
remember that.
this? So,
That doesn't mean we didn't talk about it either.
no, I know. So
We talked about a
if we
lot of
talk about it
shit.
before, we're going to talk about it again. Right. So it looks like a choke, and it's to the right of, it was to the right of the steering wheel, I believe. And it's for off-roading. So say you want to go one foot on the clutch, one foot on the brake, and you're in like a tricky
Okay, I think
section.
we did.
Does this sound
It,
familiar?
that sounds familiar, yeah, but go ahead still. Like, I
So you can keep your foot on the brake and go start to lift clutch, and instead of trying to slide a foot to the gas, you just start to pull on the
That's cool.
throttle control, which is very, it's basically like a choke. And so you can get it to where now you're just on the brake, and you roll off the brake, and you have it throttling out on this with full control if you need to go back to clutch. I've never seen that before, and it was really,
That's super
really
cool.
cool. That vehicle is
And that's
awesome.
independent
Love
of the throttle pedal, right? Like you don't always have to pull throttle, like just driving normally. It's
Oh,
right.
no. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
independent. Yep. Correct.
That's cool.
Jay Pacillo. Yeah, super cool. At JZX71, will we see more two-door sport coupes in the future due to the popularity of the Supra, BRZ, GR86, and Nissan Z, or more hot hatches like the GR Corolla?
No.
This is it.
We're lucky we have what we have right now. Go out, buy them, enjoy them, and you know, sing their praises, because we're not getting any more.
Nope. At some point when we've hit a fever pitch of EV market appeal, maybe then we could start to see more EV sport coupes, but we'd have to be way into the EV game.
I mean, Tesla,
and we're 20
Tesla
years.
Hasn't even
talking
come to market with the Roadster. It's been 5 years since they showed it. That's never going to happen. There's never going to be a Tesla Roadster. There's absolutely no reason why anybody would make an electric coupe, like two-seater coupe. Like, there's so many
I'm thinking like 20 years from now. I'm thinking 20 years from now when there's like an electric Mustang.
Well, you think 20 years? I think within 7 to 8 years we'll have only electric
Mustang. No, I agree.
I'm thinking luxury coupe or like two-seater, like, you know, exotics. We've already got Rimac. You know, there's a bunch of
The hybrid car shit.
Like absolute performance cars, exotics, whatever, like that will exist. But like, you know, you're not going to, I don't see a market case for a Mercedes SL Roadster electric. I don't see a CL coupe electric. Like,
as things shift
versus a four-door version of that same car with a lower roof line, like, you know, you got the e-tron,
the guy who buys it though already has the four-door, and then he wants the weekend little electric thing.
I mean, we're so far from that based on packaging and weight,
right?
Like, you know, you're not going to have a lightweight compact electric coupe that provides a completely different driving experience compared to a Taycan or an e-tron or a Mach-E. Like, we're I'll agree with you. We're at least 10, 15, 20 years away from that. Like,
it will be at some point, because, you know, I think battery tech will like the computer and smartphone, but that's why I was going far out. But you're right with respect to what the question was. No, we both said no. Right. Buy them now, or just wait for them. That's it. That's it. Jumping to Instagram questions. This was an interesting question. I usually don't research questions beforehand, but someone was having technical difficulties, so I let some shit up.
I gave you 30 minutes.
94_Terradome. 2017 Bugle Regal GS all-wheel drive. Low-key steel for a sports sedan. My daughter just got into Bugle, the little chip things, and I
that's
ate
exactly
like,
what I was thinking
today.
About. I was just like, I don't know what a Bugle is besides those snacks, and I miss those.
Bugle chips. Regal. I would like to buy your Bugle Regal. Buick Regal GS all-wheel drive. Low-key steel for a sports sedan. He's saying 2017.
I know it's a thing, but I couldn't draw a picture of one. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I imagine it's a turbocharged, four-cylinder, compact sedan. But, I mean, is it good?
In 2017?
I don't know.
No. Your description was good. In 2017.
I mean, is it a good car? I have no idea.
No, because it was like 270 horse, which, I mean, isn't terrible, you know. But the next generation of it, they revised it for, I think, 2019, which is going to be more expensive. And it jumps to 310 horsepower. And from a 6-speed to a 9-speed, which I don't know if that's better or not, because I don't know the gearboxes.
Are they turbo four cylinders?
The 2017 is a turbo four. The 2019 310 horsepower is a V6.
Turbo V6 or just NA V6?
No. Just a V6. As far as I know, it's an NA V6.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea, but I have no interest in any sort of naturally aspirated V6 car.
I don't think it's a I don't think it's a steal for a sports sedan. I don't think it's going to be as sporty as you hope. I could be wrong. It's been so long since I've driven a Buick product, period.
Does Buick sell anything other than crossovers in running? The U.S.?
No. They are now fully crossover now. And the thing that pisses me off is they announced they're bringing back the Electra name to do electric vehicles, which is actually brilliant. And the concept they showed is called the Wildcat, which is this crazy looking coupe, which they are not going to build.
They already announced
it's only going to be, it will continue to be crossovers.
That's,
they've already said it.
The kind of thing that plays into the last question. It's just like, why are you teasing this stuff? Like, I understand Buick has a huge following in China, but it's like, why tease the U.S. market with sexy coupes? Like, you're just following in the footsteps of Cadillac. You're showing stuff you never have any intention of making just to get press at shows, at, you know, different events, but that has nothing to do with your actual product lineup and what you plan to offer. Like, I don't understand.
They used the excuse that it shows design language for the future, which is silly. But also, the Chinese market, I don't even think cares about coupes. They care about long wheelbase sedans. So, whatever. Rumble Strip asks if I'm ready to take the Montero to Prudhoe Bay. That would be the trip of a lifetime, and I would fucking do it. Alaska. I would do it, and the Montero would fucking make it because it's a goddamn zombie mountain goat, and I love it. Sam Gobbs, why don't you have a gravel bike yet? Thanks for the bike nerd session last time. I think you missed some questions. I was going to save one from the last one too, because it was a wheel question. Shit. I got to remember if I can find it. I've thought about a gravel bike. I'm not there yet. I have looked at them.
What is a gravel bike?
But I actually want to get
the noobs like
gravel bike is like, it looks like a road bike that people ride on the dirt.
It's just a matter of wheels and tires. Is that the big difference? Or
it's more than that. The frame's different. It's a little bit.
Does that have suspension?
The frame is. Okay. No. So that's the thing. No suspension. That's the big thing. It looks like a road bike that people take in the dirt with like the tires, you know, are good for it. And they look like a lot of fun, but it's much more of an exercise thing at that point than a like, look at me hit jumps. Sure. The reels, Mangs, what car are you looking to buy pre-pandemic that you're kicking yourself for not buying? This is a good question. Do you have anything on your list?
Yes. C4 ZR1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I saw one when I was back east. I didn't get a picture of it. It was this old dude driving this fucking crazy clean one. That's the license plate was 90-01. I was like, that guy has owned this since
totally.
Now. And it was spotless. Fuck.
I had a friend that was selling one. He bought it for 16K. And like, I was just like, I'll buy it for 18K as is. Don't touch it. Like, he's a car guy, but like, he thought he was going to retire off of this one deal. And I'm just like, he's a friend of a friend. And like, he just muddied the waters. He's like, oh, I'm getting it detailed, but it was actually getting painted. And when it came back, there was like overspray and there was like all these sorts of issues. And I'm like, dude, this is why I told you I would buy the car before you did all that. Cause you wasted your money and you like, basically you didn't even polish a turd. You created a turd. Like now, like, it looks like you're hiding something. Like there's all this overspray and the paint hasn't been like properly color sanded and buffed. And like, I would have to go back and fix so many things. And like, I would rather it were just in original condition and I could see the flaws for what they were and deal with it on my own. And like, if it needed paint, sure. I'd like take it apart, paint the hood, paint the doors, paint the rockers if it needed it. But like now, And the car even went on to bring a trailer and didn't sell. And he basically got ripped apart. And like, I was just like, I told you, man, like, you know, even if I didn't feel like you were trying to hustle me, like you should have just taken my advice and just cleaned the car up and sold it as is, as an honest car. Like he sold it overseas and I think he made his money and he was happy in the end and I'm happy for him. But like those cars were anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 at that point, depending on mileage, and I feel like they're double or triple that now, and like there's just so few of them, even 96 Impalas, like there's just so few of them in like clean original shape, and that's what I wish I had picked up before the market went absolutely bonkers.
That's a good answer. I would say, obviously, I've been talking about Mustangs lately. Prices on those are stupid. Somebody sent me a good, well, not a great one, but one that was for sale. I think it was in the Pacific Northwest. I forget exactly where it was for sale, but it was like 5,200, mm-hmm. which was a number I hadn't seen on one in a while, but, you know, it needed a fair bit of stuff. And it said there was light rust, and that's like, well, there's more than light. Saying light. So the Mustang's on the list, and basically like any muscle car.
Totally. Have you looked at Cougars though? I mean, Cougars are always discounted compared to Mustangs, and like, especially like the 67 to like 70s. Yeah. I think they're actually,
you can make them look tough.
Like they,
it's not a bad idea.
A premium and like all that Mustang shit bolts on. And like, I love the hideaway headlights. Like they're cool. Like
they probably carry one now. You know? I'm going to go look, and the cheapest one's like 17 and it's like shitty. Taylor 356 favorite airline. Also, how come you and Ron don't have a TV show yet? Cause no one wants to hire us. Trust me.
You got a TV show.
Well, yeah, I guess so. We'll see. I'm waiting on season three.
I almost had a YouTube show, but I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. Talk to producers, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter. I've pitched so many shows over the years and you haven't seen them on TV, so there's your answer. Well, favorite airline. I'm currently a Delta devotee. I actually am just getting – it's coming in the mail.
The new metal card? Is it like the
I'm getting a 747 card. Because I shouldn't show this on the screen, but I won't show anything that – I'm trying to like block everything out. But I have the this is metal.
Oh, but is that a Delta card?
Oh, shit. I'm going to double check if I make sure I didn't show totally anything. Yeah,
somebody's going to screenshot that and just...
I know. I'm going to have to, like, blur out.
I'm so irritated. My Bank of America debit card has been compromised for the third time this year. It's June. And, you know, it's super annoying because, like, I have most of my bills set to autopay on that. Now I've just got to switch everything to my Amex, which never gets compromised. But I do want to upgrade to the... what is it? It's not premium. What do they call that? No, it's not platinum either. It's above platinum. The 747 card, the metal card.
Oh, no. Delta specifically is the reserve.
Yeah, exactly.
But platinum is still king.
Right, but that Delta reserve card is like the shit for American Express Delta.
Specifically, and it's made from
salvaged aluminum from an actual 747. That's the shit.
Yes. Yes. And it says when like the plane went into service and when it went out, and then my card arrives on Friday.
Nice.
And I am fucking stoked for it. I got to plug in my keyboard because I just got a notice that my keyboard just disconnected because I was trying to change the name of this episode to don't forget to blur out your credit card. At like 1:02 in. Okay. Like that's a great note. And, that's so, yeah, my current airline I use is Delta, but my favorite, I've had really good experiences on like, just flying overseas. Cause I've been fortunate to be in the good seats, like British Airways, Airbus A380s and shit. And I don't know. I just use Delta. Yeah.
I am
the Delta lounge.
Domestically Delta. They're, you know, based in my hometown of Atlanta, so I'll always support Delta over any other mark. United sucks. Can't stand United. If I can help it, I'll never fly United again. I have status on American. I'll use American when Delta's not convenient. But internationally, it's all about Emirates. I just had the most amazing experience the couple times that I've flown Emirates. Like Emirates business is, and this is 5 years ago, but Emirates business is like as good as first class on any other airline. Like Emirates first class, for sure. You have a shower, you have your own bunk, basically, you know, you have turn down service, but I did Maldives almost 5 years ago to the day. And we had an 8-hour layover in Dubai, which was sick because they provided a hotel room. So
Oh,
car
wow.
service, you'd go to the hotel, shower,
That's insane.
chill. Then you had car service back. Like we went to Burj Khalifa in our layover. We actually didn't go to the hotel. We just went to the Dubai Mall, whatever that is, and went to Burj
Yeah.
Khalifa and went to the top, and had that full experience and then spent some time in the lounge. The lounge has full showers. It's like the most
Oh, for
opulent,
sure.
luxurious experience I can imagine. And I'm, now there's like Singapore Air has like crazier first class and stuff, but like it's just so seamless and just so effortless, and it just like makes you feel so like comfortable when you're traveling literally around the world. And like that was an unbeatable experience. So I'm trying to stack those Emirates
That
miles and Delta miles as much as I can.
damn, that sounds yeah. I can't compete with
It's
that.
not a
That's awesome.
competition, it's just an experience.
No. That's impressive shit. You got anything cool coming up?
No, but I would like to talk about something cool that I just did last week. Our
Sure.
buddy Rory Carroll was in town. He's now with RM
All
Sotheby's,
right.
and he invited me to their Monterey preview party, which was last Friday, and at their office in Culver City, which is dope. So dope. Like their place, super sick. And so their Monterey collection includes an F40, which he allowed me to sit in, along with an 8-year-old girl. Not together, but like it was just like open season. It was just like, yeah, it's a car, bro. Like, I trust you. You know how to handle a vehicle like this, and like you're just sitting in it. Like you can't really do any damage. So I was on my best behavior, and I got to sit in, my ultimate dream car and experience that, and like touch, taste, smell. Super cool. They had a Ferrari 410 that Carroll Shelby drove in competition, which I never knew
That's sick.
that Carroll Shelby ever drove a Ferrari competition car, and it
Right.
had an inscription from Shelby on the fuel cell in the rear that said, "Mr. Ferrari told me that this is the best Ferrari he ever made." But I mean, this is like
Wow.
late 50s, like mid to late 50s. So it's like, I'm sure his opinion changed. I'm sure Enzo's opinion changed at some point over the years.
And
But
Kara.
bro, a signature on a gas tank of a Ferrari from Carroll Shelby. Like, I think that car was
Sick.
estimated to go for like 20, 25 mil. The F40, 2 to 2.5. There was one of my all-time favorites, an SLR Roadster. They had a Zagato Aston Martin, like a later model. There was a roof CT12, I believe it is, which like I didn't know was a thing, but it's like it was a 997 roof car, like full aero, full interior with an integrated roll cage, like gorgeous car.
Jesus.
There was a 918, there was a 512 BBI in white, like just super, everything super clean, super unique. And I'm super excited to see what all these cars pull at Monterey. But yeah, it was just a laid back, like cool thing. Like they had tacos and beer. Like, it was like I saw Magnus and Hannah there, RJ DeVera, just like a bunch of random my friend Ashley and from Haggerty and Brian from Top Rake Importers. Like it was just like our kind of industry friends. And
Yeah, I was invited, but I was
I know,
asked.
but I was there, represented in full force. But
Hell yeah.
it was just cool,
It
man,
looked
because it was
awesome.
low key, and there was no airs, there was no like hoity-toityness. It was just like, that's a car. You might be interested. Of course, you're not bidding. You're not our clientele, but like, you get to experience these cars. And there was like a 54 or 58 Bentley that was built for the Prince of Iraq originally,
Whoa.
but was basically stolen, seized by Saddam Hussein when he assumed power. The car was seized again by the US government and restored to original condition. And like, it's just like cool shit like that. Like, I n normally would not be interested in, but like these cars have unique histories and cool stories, and having access to them and being able to like I said, Touch and Taste them was just a super cool experience. It was like not a big deal, but it was just fun. And then on
That's awesome.
Sunday, I joined them for the Beverly Hills Concourse, the Father's Day show on Rodeo Drive.
Oh,
There's
nice.
all kinds of
Yep.
cool shit there. I mean, my favorites were like GT40s, Cobras, like that kind of shit. And like they had a few customs and lowriders and stuff. And that was super cool. I was less interested in like the new Paganis and McLarens and stuff. But I did
Sure.
see the new Mercedes SL, which was weirdly Porsche-like. Like when I first saw it, like I saw the taillights and I was like, what
Interesting.
Porsche is that? Because it's got a really sloped rear end. Like, it doesn't have muscular
Really?
haunches like most SLs. They've leaned into like we're competing with the 911. Like it's front engine. It's got a long hood, but it's got like a sloping tail with no spoiler, and it's got a flip up spoiler. But like when that's retracted, like it's very 911. So they're making their intentions clear is the best way I could describe that.
Interesting. Yeah, I got to see that one in person. Very interesting. Sounds like an awesome event. I've got nothing coming up. I'm just
Me
doing
neither.
the shit. And one of these days you'll let me come to the
Yeah, dude.
speakeasy.
It's hot as fucking. Yeah. I
Is
was there
it?
yesterday ripping apart the bed of that truck. I was sweating profusely. I couldn't see. I had fiberglass all over my arm, so I couldn't even wipe the sweat. Like I was just blinded by the sweat. But
Ugh.
I didn't have any fans. I have a swamp cooler that I'd gladly take over there. Like if you want to wrench on something, like or even just check it out, like it's fine. But like I'll just bring a fan and that swamp cooler and we'll be good.
I do need to swap out an idler arm
Yeah,
in my
let's go.
truck.
I plan on being there Friday and
That
Saturday.
could be
I
good.
actually plan on being there all this weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, take your pick, and like this time we'll actually do it. Like I'm canceling dates and
Yeah.
appointments like to make sure that I get my shit done this week.
Yeah, this weekend might suck, but I will
Okay.
let you know. But yeah, I want to do that. No worries. Either way, let's figure that
Okay.
out. And for everybody else watching and listening, like and subscribe. Thank you for doing that. Go to blipshift.com, find our partner store. I still won't get to make podcast merchandise to see if anybody's interested in that. And then yeah, we'll see you on the next. I don't have much to say. I just switched to a cannabis drink from an
Okay.
alcohol drink, so my brain's about to go
We're
good night
easing out.
because I'm tired. Yeah, no, this is perfect. There's CBD in it. It's going to be night night. I'm going to go take the dogs out, and that's
Okay.
about it. And that's where I'm going to stop it.
Good night.
Bye.